You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dodgers fans, you might want to skip to segment number two. Everybody else, welcome to Locked On MLB, your daily podcast covering Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Tommy Stokey. And it was not a good night for Kenley Jansen or the Los Angeles Dodgers. Good night for the Diamondbacks, not so much for Kenley Jansen, who blew a save, gave up another home run, walked two batters, and velocity still a concern. So segment number one today is going to be what is going on with Kenley and how concerned should the Dodgers be, how concerned should Kenley be, like what seems to be the problem. So we've got a couple interesting numbers here. We've got some comments from the Dodgers and what they think, so we'll get into that. Dodgers fans, you can tune in to segment two after you skip segment one. Segment two, building off that Dodgers game, so maybe you don't want to listen. I want to go over extra innings because we went into the 15th last night with Arizona. It got to the point where the 16th inning was going to be pitched by Jeff Mathis, and the 16th inning was going to be pitched by a Los Angeles Dodgers position player. So what do we do? How do we address the extra innings problem? Is it even a problem? You know, how often do we go? 15 innings, not very. But is there something that baseball can do, whether it's starting the guy at second base? Spoiler alert, I don't think so. Or is there a different rule change that they can make, such as ties? Spoiler alert, I think so. And then we'll end with looking across baseball today, what we can expect. Dodgers fans, it is Kershaw Day, so there is something for you to look forward to, other than us picking on Kenley and finding out what's wrong with him. So let's jump in to Kenley Jansen. Now, I'm stealing some of these numbers from Greg Jewett, fantasy baseball writer. Check him out on Twitter. He's got a lot of information, a lot of charts, graphs. He's really on top of this stuff. But he noted something that I thought was interesting. Kenley Jansen, last year, 16% swing percentage, swing and miss percentage. And this year, we're at 2.8. So people aren't swinging and missing. And let's go back to Monday night. Enters the game with a 6-3 lead against the Diamondbacks on the road. He has already given up a home run to Joe Panik this year in a loss to the Giants. He walks Paul Goldschmidt. I don't think Goldschmidt even swung at a pitch. He walks A.J. Pollock. And this is all with two outs in the ninth. And then Chris Owings comes up and swings at a first pitch fastball cutter right down the middle and hits it out into left field to tie the game. So giving up a home run to Chris Owings and Joe Panik, not two home run hitters. The walks, I want to find the stat. Eric Steven, True Blue LA, had it, and I retweeted it last night. Kenley walked two Diamondbacks last night, and last year he didn't walk somebody until June 25th. So his first walk, June 25th. His first walk, 2018, April 2nd, and then he walked another one. So is the concern velocity? Is the concern something else? You know, Greg points out a couple charts with a look at his release point, and this was something that Bob Brenly noted. Mark Grace noted on the Diamondbacks postgame show that, A, Kenley just seemed to switch his mechanics and his delivery an awful lot, whether it was going with a quick pitch, whether it was a hesitation, just never looked the same. And Brenly said that he's had success with the quick pitch before in previous seasons, but for whatever reason, he just didn't look normal. And I think Grace was the one who pointed out that, man, when you're that big, just go up there and throw it. What are you messing around for? I don't think it's quite that easy. And, you know, Kenley, after game one, when he gave up the home run and his velocity was low, came out and said, who cares? And now I think we care. So he's 2 miles an hour slower than he was last year. He's averaging about 91 so far. Let's look over here at Brooks Baseball. Brooks Baseball has him at 91 on his cutter right now. Last year, he ended at 93, got as high as 94. Last year in April, he was 93.35. Right now, he's 91.44. So maybe some concern. The slider is 80. It ended in October at 83. And a sinker is 92.94. In October last year, he was 95.26. And even in April last year, he was 95.65. So, again, 2.5 miles an hour difference on the what Brooks Baseball calls the sinker and the cutter. So maybe that isn't as concerning as just the overall stuff, whether it is a mechanical issue, is it a health issue. Dave Roberts said last night after the game he believes that Kenley is healthy and everything that they've been told. Kenley's healthy. Kenley says he's healthy, but he did admit that he's having trouble with his mechanics. So, interesting development, and some guys' velocity matters more than others. I look at Zach Greinke, and we've talked about that here before, that I don't really care what Zach Greinke throws because he doesn't rely on 95, 96. He relies on location, and he relies on people swinging at balls out of the strike zone. Kenley needs that, it appears, needs that extra juice on his fastball, and, otherwise, it's just sitting, people can hit 91 down the middle, and we'll see what the movement's like, how that goes. But Kenley was the one constant that the Dodgers didn't have to worry about, and if that isn't the case this year, then that's a pretty big change because they lost Brandon Morrow in the pen. It's not quite as deep, so kind of concerning for Dodgers fans. I don't want to freak out. I wouldn't want to freak out yet. It is only April 3rd, and sometimes it just takes these guys a little bit to get going. But the control problems, Jansen coming out and saying he's battling his mechanics. Is it a health issue? Are his mechanics messed up because he's overcompensating for a health issue somewhere else? We'll see, and we'll see how this develops, but certainly something to keep an eye on. All right, let's talk extra innings. So last night that game goes 15 innings. It ends when Jeff Mathis, a career 198 hitter, comes off the bench to pinch hit for the Diamondbacks with, I think it was two on, at least one on, obviously. And he drives a single, double, shoots the gap, whatever, and Nick Ahmed scores. The Diamondbacks actually scored two in that inning off Wilmer Font, who really did look really good. But come away with the winners, 8-7. That was awesome to watch as just a baseball fan, seeing Jeff Mathis come in off the bench and seeing him end the game. Getting the idea of Jeff Mathis pitching is fun. Getting the idea of a Los Angeles Dodgers position player pitching and going position player versus position player to decide a game is a fun idea. Watch, the excitement of 13, 14 innings is great. With that being said, I'm going to go back to an idea that Brandon McCarthy tweeted out a couple years ago that we should have ties after the 11th inning, and I agree with that because you look at how that game, how that could affect a playoff race. I mean, yeah, it's only April 2nd, so some people say, oh, what's it matter? Well, if the Dodgers and Diamondbacks are playing for a division title later in the year, then this game counts just the same as game 155. So it is important. It's important for the Diamondbacks and Dodgers, who, if they're not competing for a division title, they're definitely going to be competing for a wild card spot, and those always come down to a game or two, so it's very important. Do you really want those being decided by a catcher on the mound? I don't think so. And so I would go with ties after the 11th. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I don't think that you would see very many ties, and people complain, oh, there's no ties in baseball, blah, blah, blah. There's ties in football. There's ties in soccer. There's ties in hockey, or at least there used to be. But, I mean, everybody that wants to say, oh, that's not how it's done, well, there's ties in football. They don't happen very often, and they wouldn't happen very often in this case, but I think that's better than running out relief pitchers throwing 40 pitches when they're used to throwing 15 or 20 and depleting a bullpen for 3 days at a time. I mean, they haven't made a roster move yet, the Diamondbacks, but and Lovello said at the end of the game that he thinks that they should be okay, but that has a ripple effect that goes for multiple games. And so I don't think it's a great I don't think that that's how you want to decide a game in the 16th, 17th inning. We already saw the 17 inning game between the Cubs and the Marlins. This is 15, you know, with Kershaw, Godley today. We'll see if it has an effect on this series. If one of those guys gets chased early, then those teams are going to be screwed for a couple days, or they're going to have to make roster moves. And, you know, sure, you can say that that rewards teams with depth, but I don't know. And I also think that maybe it adds a sense of urgency in the 10th and 11th to go for a win rather than playing things safe. And who knows? Maybe that, you know, the one decision that I can't quite understand, and, you know, I think Dave Roberts is great, but Dave Roberts brought in his last position player off the bench to pinch hit for the pitcher, Kyle Farmer, and then he had him bunt. You know, if you're going to burn your position player, A, don't have him bunt. Let him swing away, and if you're not and you're going to bunt, have a pitcher do it so you can waste him. Kyle Farmer ended up popping that bunt up off of Archie Bradley and it didn't work, but maybe teams will be more aggressive. I think that's a better way than just starting a runner at second base. I don't think that makes much sense, but I would like to see the extra inning rule in place. And again, as a fan, it's fun watching the position player pitch. I think that position player should pitch more in blowouts. I think that, you know, everybody makes fun of Gabe Kapler, but if teams are down 5 or 6 in the ninth, you know, don't make it be you're down 10 or 15 to throw a position player. I'd rather see him down 5 or 6, save that arm for another time. But I don't want to see position player versus position player in the 17th deciding potential playoff races. I'd rather see ties. I don't want to see relief pitchers get hurt because they're overextended, and I don't want to see teams depleted for multiple days because they had to stretch out and go those extra innings. So, you know, maybe I'm no fun, and I know a lot of people are against ties. There are a lot of people are against any change in baseball. I'm against most changes in baseball. I don't want to see, you know, some of these things that Rob Manfred wants to put in, but I don't think ties are necessarily all that bad. So, big win for the Diamondbacks, big loss for the Dodgers. Luckily for them, they have Clayton Kershaw going today, so you hope that he can save the pen. Bigger win probably for the Diamondbacks, because if they lose that, not only are they depleted heading into Tuesday, but they're also then going against Clayton Kershaw and looking at going down 2-0. So Diamondbacks DNA has been to never quit, never give up, and, you know, to work two walks and hit a home run with two outs against Kenley Jansen. Pretty impressive stuff. All right, our final segment, let's look at games today. We already had the Royals beat the Tigers 1-0. Early, we've got rain preventing the Yankees from getting started on time. But otherwise, we got a pretty full slate. The Phillies are back. Let's see what Gabe Kapler can do. I stuck up for him the other day when he had his bad weekend. I don't think that just because he pulled Aaron Nola, it means that he's going to be a terrible manager. I think let's wait and see. So our slate today, Chris Archer against the Yankees. Jordan Montgomery going there. Who knows when that game will start. Shout out to Jesse Spector and Locked On Yankees, who is going to be in the press box for the next 15 hours. So let's pray for him there. Ty Block is going to take on the Mariners today in an interleague matchup against Marco Gonzalez. Ty Block coming off his good opening day start against the Dodgers. Marco Gonzalez making his season debut here. Red Sox hope to get Chris Sale his first win of the year. Start off 5-1 against Jose Urania, who hit three Cubs on opening day. So we'll see if he can bounce back. Marlins 2-3, not too bad. A lot of, you know, better than I'm sure a lot of people expected going 2-2 against the Cubs. So maybe Derek Jeter's onto something, or maybe he's not. Cubs 2-3 to start the year, taking on the Reds. John Lester had a terrible opening day. Let's see if he can bounce back against the Reds. Cubs offense has not been able to get much going. Switching up the leadoff spot today, Ben Zobrist is hitting leadoff. Ian Happ was a good story, hitting first pitch home run, and I don't think he's hit anything since. A lot of strikeouts there in the leadoff spot, has not been very successful since that home run. Facing a lefty today, though, in Cody Reed, so you've got Albert Almora in the game. He's not leading off. I think that might be a little surprise to some people, but we'll see Ben Zobrist there, left field, in for Kyle Schwarber. White Sox, Blue Jays, Phillies, Mets, Matt Harvey making his season debut. Maybe we'll get some reaction from Joe Nocco on the Mets' perspective and on Harvey's debut. Pitching in New York. Big year for Matt Harvey, obviously, coming off off that terrible year last year. Has been a pretty bit poor stretch for him, so we'll see. A lot of optimism for Matt Harvey. The Nationals, undefeated. Are they the only undefeated team left? It looks like it. Looks like it. Yeah, so the Nationals are the only undefeated team left in baseball, and if they don't lose today, I don't know when they will lose. They've got AJ Cole on the mound going up against Julio Teheran at Atlanta. If they don't lose today, I mean, then you're back to Scherzer against the Braves, Strasburg against the Braves. You figure they're favored there, so maybe they'll run off a nice little win streak here. So, but Julio Teheran, let's see if he can shut down the Nationals. Bryce Harper. Oh, there was something I saw where somebody, maybe it was Steve Phillips, said on radio or said somewhere that the Braves are going to try for Bryce Harper this year, and that's funny because every team, or they're going to try for Bryce Harper next year, and it's funny because every team should try or want Bryce Harper next year. That doesn't mean that every team is going to have a chance, and that doesn't mean that every team expects to get him. But every team should try for him. He's that kind of player, obviously. You know, it's like reporting that a team is going to have interest in Shohei Ohtani. Okay, well, every team is going to be interested in Bryce Harper at 26 years old, coming off what could be a big season. And even if it's not a big season, every single team will be interested in him. So that's just funny. Although there were the comments that, oh, man, you know, with two of the Braves' top prospects being outfielders and Ender and Ciarte, I don't know that they have room for Bryce Harper. That is also funny. Everybody has room for Bryce Harper. It doesn't matter if it's a prospect. It doesn't matter if it's Jason Hayward making $180 million in right field. You have room for Bryce Harper. So get ready for the teams interested in Bryce Harper rumors, because those are going to be fun. Every team is interested in Bryce Harper. Chase Anderson taking on the Cardinals. After a loss yesterday, the Brewers' first loss, lose that home opener, taking on Jack Flaherty and the Cardinals. Chase Anderson is the Brewers' ace, so let's see if he can act as that stopper for the Brewers and get them back in the win column. The Orioles, surprisingly, have a win. I don't think they're going to get one today against Justin Verlander and the Houston Astros. In Houston, Mike Wright takes the mound there. Locked on Orioles, Justin McGuire. They had a poll that will the Orioles lose 100 games for the first time since, I think it was 1988, maybe 1982, one of those two. The way that it looked early, could be. That pitching staff is pretty rough, especially if Kevin Gausman, you know, I don't think he had a very good debut, as good as Dylan Bundy looked. A lot of question marks in that starting rotation. Then you get to the summer, and what's going to happen with Manny Machado or some of those trade pieces, who knows. Could be a long year in Baltimore. But hey, check out Locked On Orioles to follow them. Justin McGuire is doing a great job there. Dodgers Diamondbacks, Kershaw Day against Zach Godley. Zach Godley is really good, and I don't know that people know that yet because he was pretty much unknown until last year. But Diamondbacks have a chance. They can beat Kershaw, especially with Godley on the mound, who, you know, fifth starter here, but he might be the best fifth starter in baseball. Indians, Josh Tomlin makes his debut against Garrett Richards and the Angels. The Rangers, Cole Hamels looks to bounce back after a loss to the Astros, taking on the Athletics. In our final game of the day, Kyle Freeland and Tyson Ross both making their debuts as the Rockies take on the Padres. The Padres are winless at 0-4. I believe they're the only winless team, as I am looking to confirm, at least from teams that are playing today. Yes. Well, the Royals got a win, so now the Padres are the only team without a win. So let's see if they get one tonight. All right, that'll do it for us today. My extra innings hot take, my Kenley Jansen hot take, and a preview of today's action. Today is Kershaw Day. Remember that, Dodgers fans. Hopefully it's better than opening day for you. But you can find me on Twitter at StokeyTommy. If you are interested in advertising on Locked On MLB or any Locked On MLB podcasts, my email is Stokey, S-T-O-K-K-E, at LockedOnMLB.com. We have added the Blue Jays, we are adding the Cardinals, and we are adding the Braves soon, this week, I believe. The home opener for the Cardinals, I think, is on Thursday, and that's when we plan our first show, so we'll make that announcement soon on the Cardinals, and we've got the Braves coming as well. Find all of our work at LockedOnMLB.com. You can find the other shows there as well. This show is on iTunes, and it is also on Google Play.